Hi, I'm Diane Lucas, and welcome to Geography 101, where we journey into the fascinating corners of our world. Today we travel to Bhutan, the small Himalayan kingdom that has captured global attention for its unique way of measuring success, not by gross domestic product, by the gross national happiness. Nestled between India and China, Bhutan is a land of a towering mountains, pristine forests, and a deep spiritual traditions. Often called the last Shangri-La, it offers lessons on how culture, environment, and happiness can be woven together. Let's dive into the wonder that is Bhutan. Bhutan may be small, with just under 1 million people, but it has outsized presence in global conversations about sustainability and well-being. It's one of the only countries in the world that is carbon negative, meaning it's absorbs more carbon than it produces. This reflects Bhutan's deep respect for nature, rooted in a Buddhist philosophy. The nation's landscapes are breathtaking, with snow-capped peaks, lush valleys, and rivers that cut through the land. To explore Bhutan is to step into a country that values balance above all. Bhutan is a landlocked country in South Asia, bordered by China to the north and India to the south. It lies entirely within the eastern Himalayas, giving it dramatic elevations ranging from subtropical lowlands to icy peaks. More than 70% of its land is covered by forests, making it one of the greenest nations in the world. These forests are home of the rare species like the red panda, snow leopard, and takin, Bhutan's national animal. The geography has helped Bhutan remain isolated and protected for centuries. The country is divided into three main regions: the southern foothills, central valleys, and the northern highlands. Each region has distinct climates and ways of life. The southern foothills are warm and subtropical, ideal for farming. The central valleys, such as Paro and Phunka, are where much of Bhutan's cultural life thrives. The northern islands near the Tibetan border are sparsely populated but filled with nomadic yak herders and towering peaks. Mount Gangkhar Pensum, standing at 7,570 meters, the highest mountain in Bhutan. It holds a distinct of being the highest unclimbed mountain in the world. This is partly because Bhutan has banned mountaineering on peaks above 6,000 meters to protect sacred sites. Bhutanese people see mountains as a home of protective deities. This decision reflects their blend of spirituality and respect for nature. The rivers of Bhutan are swift and powerful, cutting through the mountains to create deep valleys. These rivers are vital for agriculture, providing irrigation for rice and other crops. They also provide clean hydroelectric power, which Bhutan exports to India. Hydropower is backbone of Bhutan's economy, yet it developed carefully to minimize environmental impact. Water in Bhutan is both life source and sacred element. The climate of Bhutan varies greatly depending on elevation. Southern areas are hot and humid, while northern mountains experience freezing conditions year-round. In between, valleys enjoy temperate weather, making them ideal for settlement and farming. Monsoons bring heavy rains in summer, while winters are crisp and dry. This variety in climate makes Bhutan one of the most ecologically diverse countries in Asia. Bhutan's history is shaped by isolation and independence. For centuries, it remained a mysterious kingdom, little known for outside world. It was unified in the 17th century under Zhabdrung Ngawang Namgyal, a Tibetan Lama who established its dual system of government, combining spiritual and temporal leadership. This system endured that religion remained central to governance. Even today, Bhutan's culture is deeply infused with Buddhism. In 1907, Bhutan established monarchy with Ogyen Wangchuck as its first king. Since then, the royal family has played a vital role in shaping modern Bhutan. The kings are highly respected, seen as a protector of both the people and the environment. In 2008, Bhutan transitioned into constitutional monarchy with democratic elections. The balance of tradition and modernity is a hallmark of Bhutanese society. Buddhism is the heartbeat of Bhutanese life. Nearly 70% of population practice Vajrayana Buddhism, a branch of Mahayana Buddhism known for its ritual, art, and meditation practices. Monasteries and dzongs are found across the country, serving as both religious and administrative centers. Festivals like Teshu bring entire communities together for days of dance, music, and prayers. Faith is not just a personal in Bhutan, it's a woven in a national identity. Dzong are perhaps the most striking cultural structures in Bhutan. These fortress-like monasteries are built without nails, using only wood and stone. Its dzong houses monks, governed offices, and sacred relics. Their architecture reflects both strength and beauty, often perched dramatically on hillsides. Dzong are living testaments of Bhutan's spiritual and cultural resilience. Bhutanese culture plays a strong emphasis on community and tradition. The people wear traditional dress daily. Men wear the go as a knee-length robe, while women wear the kira, a long dress. These garments are not just a cultural markers, but a symbol of pride and unity. Bhutanese law even requires traditional dress in government offices and schools. These help preserve identity in a rapidly globalizing world. Perhaps Bhutan's most famous contribution to global thought is philosophy of gross national happiness, introduced by King Jimmy Sangye Wangchuck in the 1970s. It measured the national progress not by money, but by well-being. GNHS has four main pillars: sustainable development, preservation of culture, good governance, and environmental conservation. This holistic approach prioritizes happiness over profit. It's an idea that has inspired global discussions about redefining success. Unlike GDP, which focuses economic growth, GNH considers spiritual and emotional health as essential. In practice, this means policies and measures against their impact on people's quality of life. Schools incorporate moral and cultural education alongside academics. government decision must pass GNH status before being approved. Bhutan has become a role model of nations seeking balance. One fascinating aspect of GNH is its emphasis on environmental protection. Bhutan consumption requires at least 60% of the country's remains forested at all times. Today, more than 70% covered by forests. This commitment has made Bhutan the only carbon-negative country in the world. For Bhutan, protecting nature is not optional. It's a sacred duty. Daily life in Bhutan reflects simplicity and community. Most families still rely on agriculture, growing rice, maize, and vegetables in the fertile valleys. Yaks are important in the highlands, providing milk, meat, and wool. Villages are often worked together during harvest, reinforcing the value of cooperation. Life may be modest, but it's deeply connected to the land and tradition. Education is highly valued in Bhutan. In recent decades, the government has made a great strides in providing free education to all citizens. Schools teach both English and Dzongkha, the national language. Religious teachings often accompany academic lessons. Education is seen as a bridge between Bhutan traditions and its modern aspirations. Healthcare is also free in Bhutan. The government invests heavily in ensuring citizens have access to basic services. Even in remote mountain villages, doctors often travel long distance by foot or mule to reach patients. Preventative care is emphasized, reflecting Bhutan's focus on long-term well-being. Health, like education, is considered a right, not a privilege. Bhutanese festivals known as Techus are among the most colorful cultural celebrations in the world. These multi-day events are held in dzongs and monasteries, drawing entire communities together. Monks perform sacred mass, dances, and tell stories of good triumphing over evil. Locals wear their finest traditional dress, turning the festivals into vibrant displays of pride. Attending the Techu is both a spiritual and social experience. The most famous Techu is the Paro Techu, and each spring, thousands gather to witness dances and to see the unfurling of a giant religious scroll known as the Thangka. It is believed that simply viewing this thangka blesses the viewer. The festival is not only a religious, but also a chance for social bonding, courtship, and celebration. This festival preserves Bhutan's tradition in living form. Another iconic spiritual site is Tiger Nest Monastery, or Paro Taksang, perched dramatically on a cliff 3,000 feet above the valley floor. It's one of the Bhutan's most sacred sites. Legends says Guru Rinpoche, who brought Buddhism to Bhutan, flew to the site on the back of his tigress. The monastery is reached only by step hike, symbolizing spiritual dedication. It's both a pilgrimage and a breathtaking destination. Spirituality in Bhutan is not confined to monasteries. Prayer flags flutter on hillsides, rivers, and mountain passes, carrying mantras on the wind. Prayers wield life or line footpaths spanned by locals as acts of devotion. Chortens of small stupas dot in countryside, reminding passersby of faith. Spiritual symbols are woven into everyday life, grounding people in their traditions. Monks hold a resp- respected place in Bhutanese society. Many families send at least one child to become monk, believing it brings merit and honor. Monastic life is simple. Focus on prayer, meditation, and study. Monks are also community leaders, guiding spiritual and ethical decisions. Their presence reinforces the certainty of Buddhism in Bhutanese culture. Increasingly, Bhutan is also home of the rare practice of Drukpa Khonli's teachings, often called the Divine Madman's Wisdom. The saint taught Buddhism through humor, songs, and orthodox methods. His legacy can be seen in the colorful phallic symbol painted in houses, believed to ward off evil spirits. While unusual to outsiders, this tradition is cherished in Bhutan. It highlights the diversity of Bhutanese spiritual expression. Did you know that Bhutan is one of the last countries in the world to introduce television? TV arrived only in 1999 as a part of careful modernization effort. The king at the time reminded citizens to use it wisely, ensuring it didn't harm their values. This cautious approach to technology reflects Bhutan's balance between tradition and modernity. While modern conveniences are embraced, they are never allowed to overshadow culture. Bodycom people, see you soon. Good.